on what prayer is and different biblical teachings on prayer. But in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse number 5, let's read the text, and we'll be using a lot of verses. Let's read at least a few verses here to get us started. Verse number 5 in Matthew 6 is, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye, therefore, like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We're going to talk on prayer, and if I could give you a key thought tonight, it should be printed there on your paper. Prayer is not learned in a classroom or sitting in an auditorium, but prayer is learned in a closet. Tremendous man to read about prayer, Ian Bounds, said that prayer is not learned in the classroom, but in the closet. We're going to look at different types of prayers, how to pray, what prayer is, and all kinds of different things. But to kind of give you a background, and I left some blanks on those papers just so, keep you honest, I guess, to be watching and follow along. But there are three settings for prayer found in the New Testament. We're going to talk about all of these in the next few weeks, but there is personal prayer, as in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 9. Now, for time's sake, I can't go to every one of these scriptures that we'll have here, but I encourage you to continue studying this on your own, to look over it, and again, to go over it yourself, and continuing to just study these matters. But there's personal prayer. That's when you pray you can lift up your voice anywhere. Praise the Lord for that. Then there's partnership prayer. Example, that's Acts chapter number 3, and I think everyone understands personal prayer. But partnership prayers, what do we mean? Now, Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So you have two people getting together to pray. And that can be done as well. You and a brother and a sister can get together, have a word of prayer, and there's partnership prayer. But then there's also public prayer, as found in Acts chapter number 4, which we'll do before we leave tonight. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, when we as a body or a group of people will get together, and we will have a time of prayer. And so we're looking today at really the first of those three settings, this of personal prayer. Because without the discipline of personal or private prayer, all these other environments will be found wanting. They just, they'll be weak. Prayer is one of those things that I don't believe I've ever, in my life, have met a Christian that said, in sincerity, "I think I pray enough." I've never met that person. And those maybe that have said it, you look at them and say, "Yeah, right." Because the more you find out and know about prayer, the more you realize what an awesome privilege it is, and how we don't use it like we probably should. And prayer is just a tremendous blessing. We're going to look at prayer tonight and how to pray. A simple lesson, and I'll try to get through as much as we can tonight. But I'm going to go really quick because I like to get through as much as we can. So follow along. Number one, if we're going to how to pray. Number one, you need to prepare to pray. Prepare to pray. In Matthew, again, in chapter number 6, verse 5 and 6, would kind of be where we get this from. But you need to prepare to pray. Number one, you must be sincere. You must be sincere. It says there in verse number 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not pray as the hypocrites are." Where we shouldn't pray as the hypocrite. And what that means, and I, for outline's sake, it says this way. Number one, remove pretentiousness. In other words, doing it pretending, that's the word, out of show. The hypocrites do that. Matter of fact, they enjoy doing that. Just putting on a show in your prayer. And probably if you've been in church very long, you've probably seen that at some point in your life. Unfortunately, I should add, that someone, has maybe tried to put on a show with their prayer. and use words that you know they don't even know the meaning of it, but they've heard it somewhere. And I've heard it a few times, not much, and praise the Lord, not in a long time. But the fact is this, that there were people back then, and unfortunately there are people today, I'm sure, that like to put on a show. They want to be the person and put and say things that a lot of times they don't even know what they're talking about. And God hates pretense. God hates this. Over in Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 7, let me read these verses to you. Matthew 15, verse number 7, says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You know, it's possible to say all the right words, even in prayer, but your heart be far from God. It's possible to stand up tonight and even lead in prayer, but having your heart far from the Lord. The Lord said this is what a hypocrite does. Why do hypocrites pray? What are they doing back in our text in Matthew 5? They do it, first of all, because for personal satisfaction. It says there, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray." They love doing it. Now, are these hypocrites getting alone with God? Are these hypocrites really coming to the Lord and spending time in communion with the Lord? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So why do they love it? I mean, I think a lot of us in the room say, "Boy, I love prayer." After you spend time, I don't know if you've ever like had a season of prayer, maybe spend, have some time and you spend like 30 minutes or more in prayer. But when you get off your knees, when you stand up, you're like, "Wow, that was awesome." Spend time with God. And I love those opportunities. That's not what the hypocrites were doing. They love to pray. Why did they pray? Because they got some kind of personal satisfaction out of it. They knew people were maybe thinking they were something special or whatever the case may be. But the hypocrites pray for personal satisfaction. The hypocrites, they pray to put on a public show. In verse number 5, "For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." They love people looking at them. They love people watching them. They love people, hearing them pray. They wanted to put on a show. There's been a lot of people in my life that I love hearing pray. I probably one of the first on my list would be my grandfather. I just loved those times. Many times in the last, 20 years, I guess, I would be up there, and before I'd ever preach up there for them, we'd always meet in his office, and we'd go, and he had a big old leather couch I think he had for 50 years. And we would go, and we'd kneel down, and he would pray, then I would pray. And I cherish those moments, just hearing him pray, because he knew who he's talking to. There's been other men in our church, I can name a lot of them, but most of you, and Brother Slee mentioned it in our biographies, many people love to pray with Brother Hood, and I enjoyed that, spending the time. He's in heaven today, but the fact is, when he prayed, you knew. It wasn't something he's just doing right now. He'd been spending a lot of other time talking to the Lord. But these hypocrites, they love doing it because they love being seen of men. They wanted the attention. They wanted to put on the show. So it has to be sincere, and we learned a lesson from this. If you're going to pray, mean it. If you're going to pray, don't do it for show. You say, "Well, I'm not going to stand up in church." Even at your house. How many times have we been guilty right before a meal? Just to do it. We need to mean it and be sincere when we pray. I think a lot of times we miss out on the blessing of prayer because we're not putting our heart into that prayer. It needs to be sincere. Let it be. It must be sacred. It must be sacred. There's some verses there. I read Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Let me read this real quick. Jeremiah chapter 29. And Brother Grimm, for time's sake, why don't you go to Psalm 145 and read that next verse, all right? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 12 says this. It says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Jeremiah 12, now verse 13. "And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I think a lot of times, now listen to me, some people would even not even be interested in this preaching tonight because prayer is so foreign. To many people, even Christians, they just get nothing out of prayer. They see prayer as odd. And the reality is this, because we don't go to Him as the Bible says, it's just something that you do. It's a show. Even though maybe your intention is not to be in front of people, but you don't get it. It's just not real to you. And it needs to be sincere and it needs to be sacred. We go to Him with all our heart. We go to the Lord just knowing, man, we are talking to God. Psalm 145, verse 18, Brother Graham, real loud. In truth. Did you catch that? He's right there in prayer. And he just read Psalm 145. God is right there. Man, when you bow the knee, when you bow your head in prayer, God is there when you go to Him in truth. When you're going to God knowing, man, this I am talking to God, what a privilege. It needs to be a sacred time to you. It needs to be sincere. Letter C, you must have a schedule. You must have a schedule. In verse 6, back in our text in Matthew chapter number 6, you have to have a schedule. It says there, but thou, when thou prayest. There ought to be a when in every one of our lives. Every one of our lives should have a when our time of prayer is. Now, I know schedules change. I know, I typically, my prayer times early in the morning. I'll read the scriptures. I'll spend time in prayer. But there have been times that because of scheduling, maybe I had to be at the hospital 5:30 in the morning or something, and I may have my time with the Lord in a later time during the day, but typically I have a time of prayer. Typically I can tell you what time of the day I'm probably going to be in prayer. Typically I can tell you because I have a scheduled time of prayer, and I'm nothing special. I'm just trying to share, this is some things that I've had to learn. Based on the Word of God, we all ought to have a time of prayer. And I don't know when your time is. I have on our schedule here, number one, it should be a special time. A special time. It says there, but when thou prayest, it ought to be a special time. Over in Matthew chapter 14, we'll be right back to this section, but Matthew chapter 14 and in verse number 23, Matthew 14 and verse number 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Do you know, if the Lord Jesus Christ took the time to show us in the Word that he had to get apart from other people and have a time of prayer, how much more do we need that in our lives? Mark 1:35, the same thing, but it should be a special time. We also, number two, we should have a special place. The Bible says back in our text in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6, but when thou enterest into thy closet. Now, that doesn't mean you walk into where your clothes are hung up. That's not what that means, all right? But what it means is you have a place where you're getting alone, going to spend time just you and God. Back in those days, I don't want to bore you with Jewish traditions and go through all that, but they would take basically their robe and their outer coat and put it over themselves and kind of make a place for them to be alone. But we all need that time. I'm looking at a bunch of people today that are busy. We all are. We are all very busy. I mean, most everybody in this auditorium are hard workers. Most everybody in this auditorium gets up when it's even dark, and you go till it's dark at night. But I'm just telling you that if we don't have a special time of prayer, it's going to catch up to us quick. If you don't make the time to do it, it will begin to chip away at your spiritual life. We need this special time in a special place. I have in your notes there an illustration, and I just want you to read along because it's easier that way, I think, instead of just listening to me. There's a John G. Patton, who's a Scottish missionary to the islands that are now called Vanuatu in the South Pacific. In his autobiography, he wrote this about his father's prayer closet. It says, the closet, this is from his diary, his autobiography, sorry. The closet was a very small apartment betwixt the other two. having room only for a bed, a little table, and a chair, with a diminutive window shedding diminutive light on the scene. This was the sanctuary of that cottage home. Thither daily, and oftentimes a day, generally after each meal, we saw our father retire and shut to the door, and we children got to understand by a sort of spiritual instinct, for the thing was too sacred to be talked about, that prayers were being poured out there for us, as of old by the high priest within the veil in the most holy place. We occasionally heard the pathetic echoes of a trembling voice pleading as if for life. And we learned to slip out and past that door on tiptoe, not to disturb the holy, the outside world might now not know, but we knew. Whence came that happy light as of a newborn smile that always was dawning on my father's face? It was a reflection from the divine presence and the conscious of which he lived. Never in temple or cathedral or mountain or in glen can I hope to feel that the Lord God is more near, more visibly walking and talking with men than under that humble cottage roof of thatch and oaken walls. Though everything else in religion were by some unthinkable catastrophe to be swept out of memory or blotted from my understanding, my soul would wander back to those early scenes and shut itself up once again in the sanctuary closet. And hearing still the echoes of those cries to God would hurl back all doubt with the victorious appeal, "He walked with God. Why may not I?" Everyone should have a time and a place. And I can give illustrations, people who I lived with. I remember many times seeing when my grandfather and I would go on a trip, maybe him fishing or something, he would never miss a day just taking a walk with God. I know every morning waking up, my mom would be sitting in a rocking chair talking to God. And I don't know where your special time and special place is, but the reality is this: if you have it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, start. We all need it. So you see, first of all, you need to prepare to pray. Secondly, you need to be persuaded when we pray. Back in our text in Matthew chapter number 6, persuaded when we pray. In your notes, I have a quote from R.A. Torrey. It says this: if we would pray aright, the first thing we should do is to see to it that we really get an audience with God, that we really get into His very presence. Before a word of petition is offered, we should have the definite consciousness that we are talking to God and should believe that He is listening and is going to grant the thing that we ask of Him. You know, when we pray, we ought to stop and realize who we're talking to. And we ought to be persuaded when we pray. How often are we guilty of praying things and not really thinking God's going to do a thing about it? How often are we guilty of praying and not really thinking about who we're praying to? A, underneath this, pray with faith that God recognizes your prayers. God does recognize your prayers. And all these different psalms, I'm just going to read one for time's sake, Psalm chapter 3. They all basically are reiterating the same thing. But in Psalm chapter 3 and in verse number 4, it says this: I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and listen, and He heard me. It says the same thing in Psalm 6, 9, 28, 66, and I could give you lots of other passages. When you pray, God hears you. Let that settle in, that there's a God in heaven that created everything, that can do anything, that pays attention when you talk to Him. That is tremendous. That ought to thrill our hearts. God recognizes your prayers. There's many people the devil's already whispering in your ear, God doesn't hear you. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. God doesn't want to talk to you. Yes, He does. Well, God don't care about you. Oh, yes, He does. God recognizes your prayers. Letter B, pray with faith that God rewards your prayers. He rewards your prayers. I'll read Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. I'll read just that one and encourage you to read these other verses. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Did you know if you pray, God answers prayer? God answers prayer. You know, we if anything, you ought to be able to kind of be excited about that. We as a church really sought the Lord, and for Miss Teresa, God answered prayer. God did something amazing there. They say, what if God didn't do that? He still did something amazing because He made the right choice. He knows what needs to be done, but praise the Lord, God answered that prayer. He rewards prayer. Some people don't pray because they don't think it works. You're wrong. It does work. And I don't care really how you feel about it. If God's Word says it, it's true. And God says you have not because what? He asked not. Pray. God rewards prayer. So when we pray, now listen, you can sit here and say, I guess that's true. But if you don't pray with that knowledge, if you don't pray with that faith, if you don't go to the Lord, again, as we've talked about, with your heart, go to the Lord in faith, knowing that God is listening to me, knowing that God rewards prayer. I mean, we need to pray and be persuaded when we pray. Number three is this, you need to be purposeful when you pray. Purposeful when you pray. See, look at these things real quick. You see the rudiments of prayer. Number one, we pray to the Father. We pray to the Father. Now I just have a little note there. Again, in our text, there it says that when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. There in verse number 6. We pray to the Father. A little note. Now again, you don't have to get upset about semantics and things, and God understands the heart. But the fact is this, everywhere in the Scriptures when we pray, we're praying to the Father. Lord. God. The Bible never tells us to pray to Jesus. Now, I understand semantics, right? God is three in one. I get that. But you're not instructed to pray. We pray in Jesus' name, which we're going to talk about. We can go to God because of Jesus. But we're talking to God the Father. We're not to pray to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. I don't think God gets mad at us if you do that, all right? We're just going to the Lord in faith, right? But the fact is this, just for what the Bible teaches, we're always praying to God. We see this in all kinds of verses. I'll read one of them to you real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 17. I'll read that one. 1 Peter 1 and in verse number 17 says this, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work." If you call on the Father. When we pray to the Father. Now, number two, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, we've done that. Everyone does that. Every time we pray, we close all every prayer in Jesus' name. Why? Tradition? I hope that's not the only reason. We do it because the Bible instructs us to do that. The Bible tells us to pray in Jesus' name. Now, why are we to do that? It's because of the following reasons. Number one, He is our access. He is our access. Let me read Ephesians 2 and verse number 18. Ephesians 2, verse number 18. Brother Ricky, would you be ready for John 15:16? Let me read to you real quick Ephesians 2 and in verse number 18. Ephesians 2, verse 18 says this, "For through Him, that's Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." For through Him. We pray in Jesus' name because He is our access. Did you know we can go to the Father because of Jesus? It is only through Jesus Christ that we have access to the throne of grace. And so He is our access. Number two, letter B, He is our authority. We pray in Jesus' name because He is our authority. John 15, verse 16, Brother Ricky. Whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name. So we pray because that's the authority we go. Now listen, that affects your prayers when you understand this. You know, hey, how does that affect my prayers? Because I'm praying in Jesus' name or with His authority. That makes it hard for me to pray, God, I'd really like a Lamborghini, right? in Jesus' name, under His authority. Is that what Jesus wants in my life? No. Now, if He changes His mind, I'd be glad to drive one. But I know that's not what He wants in my life. So I don't pray that. I don't pray that way. And that's what James says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Right? But when we pray in Jesus' name, we're saying this is in the authority of the Lord. This is what He wants. You know, that's why I can pray for souls to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that's what He wants. And I can pray under authority. He is, letter C, our acceptance. He is our acceptance. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, I'll read that one to you real quick. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and in verse number 5. It says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Do you know God hears our prayer because of Jesus? He is our acceptance. Hebrews 13:15 says the same. Now you see a note here. You see a note. It says there, on our own, we have nothing to recommend us to God. We come to Him not based upon our own merit, but Christ. We ask Him to work on our behalf, not for our sakes, but for His. Our sinfulness should elicit God's wrath, but because we are Christ and come in His name, we find acceptance and God willing to work on our behalf for Christ's sake. So what's that note saying? I have no right to go to God. You have no right to go to God on your own. We should not have access to the throne of heaven. We are all dirty, rotten sinners. We are all vile. We are all filthy. Well, how does God, a holy, perfect God, allow us to come before Him and to make our requests known unto God? It is because of Jesus. We ought to be thankful for that, because of Jesus. Here's a couple of verses. Jeremiah chapter 14 says, "O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do Thou it for Thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, we have sinned against Thee." Isaiah 48 says, "Yea, Thou heardest not, yea, Thou knewest not, yea, from that time that Thine ear was not open, for I knew that Thou wouldest deal very treacherously and wast called a transgressor from the womb. For My name's sake will I defer Mine anger, and for My praise will I refrain for Thee, that I cut Thee not off. Behold, I have refined Thee, but not with silver. I have chosen Thee in the furnace of affliction. For Mine own sake, even for Mine own sake, will I do it. For how should My name be polluted, and I will not give My glory to another?" You know what? The only reason we have to go to God is because of Jesus, and may He get the glory for it. He is our access. Jesus is our authority. He is our acceptance. We also pray in Jesus' name, letter D, because He is our assurance. He is our assurance. Brother Ricky, if you want to read Hebrews 7:25, Brother Grimm, I'll keep using you two guys. Hebrews 4:14 and 16. The rest of us will read John chapter number 14 and verse number 13 and 14. All right, I can read it to you real quick. John chapter 14, He is our assurance. John 14 and in verse number 13. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." Now, I don't know about you, but knowing that Jesus cannot lie, knowing that He's perfect, holy, and knowing that's what He said, that's a pretty good promise. Amen? That'll be exciting to you. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do." You know, there's some things we may pray for things, but we'll pray for it in Jesus' name, knowing that He is the reason we can go, and knowing that He is, again, our authority, our acceptance, He is our access, and He is our assurance that we can go, knowing that His will be done. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "He ever liveth to make intercession for them." What a wonderful thing. One of the reasons Jesus is there in heaven right now is to make intercession for us. He's just waiting. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. He's just waiting to do that for us. When we neglect prayer, we're robbing the Lord of something He wants to do. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 16. "Saying then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the we can come to the throne of grace. We will find mercy and help in our time of need. He's our assurance. So number one, we need to pray to the Father. Number two, pray in Jesus' name. Number three, the Bible instructs us to pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's just look at one of these verses, Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. Ephesians 6 and in verse number 18, we're to pray in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So what's that mean, praying in the Spirit? Our prayer life should be directed by the Spirit of God. Our prayer life should be guided by the Spirit of God. We should, now look at me real quick. The Spirit prays for us. The Spirit helps us in our prayers. We are to pray in the Spirit. When we grieve the Spirit with our life, when we live opposite of what God says to do, and we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, it's no wonder we sometimes say, I ain't getting nothing out of prayer. Well, the reason is because you're not getting anything out of prayer. Because you've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot pray in Jesus' name, and you're trying, you know, to spend time with God when you need to get right with God. Because we need the Holy Spirit's help in our prayers. We are to pray in the Holy Spirit. I have another note. This means we are to pray with His help and His power. If we're grieving Him, we will not have that help. If we're resisting Him, we can't expect His power. Number four, we are to pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 is, with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When you pray, you ought to pray with a thankful heart. Don't just go to God like He's some genie up in heaven and He's supposed to give you all of your wishes. Spend time thanking Him for all of His blessings. What we might find out is we don't need it as much as we think we need. Number five, we are to pray with perseverance. We are to pray with perseverance. Luke chapter 18, I knew we run short on time, so I have the verses in front of us. Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to sin that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Romans 12, verse number 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. Continue, continue, continue. You know, one of the things, if I can give you a little personal testimony on prayer, I knew what prayer was growing up. I would have a couple times of prayer. Maybe I would do really good for a few days, maybe even a week. A lot of times after a summer camp, I'd really try to sharpen up my prayer life. But it wasn't until I really went off to college that I learned the joy of a consistent prayer life. Of what it is to spend that time every day. A lot of times we don't get out of prayer what God wants because we're so hit and miss. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I've really been trying to, I told you last Sunday, with health and everything. I've been hitting the gym pretty good the last 2 weeks. Doing really good, right? And as I do it consistently, dividends happen, right? The scale's going down. Nice. I'm all buff, right? The wife starts complimenting you. It's all good, right? You know, but if you start hitting and missing, once a week, once a month, pretty soon, it's doing me no good. Why pay the membership, right? That's the way a lot of people's prayer life has become. So hit and miss, you're not getting nothing out of it, not seeing any benefits from it. So why even do it? Be consistent. Be consistent in your prayer life. On persevering prayer, another quote there. I look at a stone cutter hammering away at a rock 100 times without so much of a crack showing in it. Yet, and at 101st blow, it splits in two. And I know it was not the one blow that did it, but all that had gone before. Number six, we are to pray in faith. We are to pray in faith. Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. When you pray, believe that God is going to do it. Or that God can do it. So we saw the rudiments of prayer. Letter B, requirements of prayer. We'll go real quick. Number one, you must give Him your worship. Again, back in our text in Matthew chapter number 6, it says, when we pray, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There ought to be a time of worship in your prayer life. Spend time worshiping God. Andrew Murray said, each time before you intercede, be quiet first. Before you start running out all your prayer list, stop and be still. Worship God in His glory. Think what He can do and how He delights to hear the prayers of His redeemed people. Think of your place and privilege in Christ and expect great things. Worship Him. Number two, you must give Him your will. Back in our text it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Give Him your will. When we pray, we ought to say, now Lord, You told me let My request be made known, and here it is. But Lord, Your will be done. I love that phrase where it says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I just love that verse. Because in heaven, how's the Lord's will done? Gabriel, go down to earth. There was not a 10-minute waiting period. There was not a, all right, God, I'll get to that later on. I'm kind of busy today. When God said, Gabriel, go down and share this message, He went. Immediately, right? Now, I don't know exactly what all is going on in heaven, but if God said right now, there with all the angels and all the loved ones up there, He said, everyone stop and be still, everyone stops and is still. Because whatever He says, it goes in heaven. And so when we pray, we ought to pray, Your will be done right here in my life just like it is in heaven. Whatever You want, that's what I want too. We have to give Him our will. That means, see, let her see the request of prayer. There ought to be intercession for other people. Intercession for other people. 1 Samuel 12 says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. We ought to pray for other people. It says here in the last few verses of our text here, it says that give us this day our daily bread, us, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You ought to pray for other people. The Bible is full of instruction how to pray for others, and we'll talk about that at a later time. Last page, our intercessions for ourselves. You ought to pray for other people, then you ought to pray for yourself. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's our needs. Second, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We ought to pray for other people, but we need to pray for ourselves too. I need prayer, and I want you to pray for me. And I promise you I pray for you. But I also spend time praying for Travis Burke, because I know his needs more than anybody else. And I'm not talking about just stuff I want. I'm talking about things that are needed in my life. And I need to pray for myself. And then number three, our prayer should be a time of our confession and seeking forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28, he that covereth sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We ought to pray and spend time of asking God's forgiveness, confessing our sin, asking God to have mercy. Four thoughts, just four quotes on prayer here. Samuel Chadwick said, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, or prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. R.A. Torrey said, when the devil sees a man or a woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that church and community is at an end. Baxter said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. E.M. Bounds says, prayer is not learned in a classroom, but in a closet. May God teach us to pray. Father, I pray that, Lord, You just take this invitation.